Welcome back to Athens Happens. I'm Aid McDougall, digital content producer for The New Political.
And I'm Megan Taylor, digital content creator for The New Political.
Athens Happens is a podcast brought to you by The New Political, a student publication dedicated to explaining the nuances of Ohio University, Athens, and state politics.
You can find new episodes at thenewpolitical.com or wherever else podcasts can be downloaded.
Taylor Swift. She's arguably one of the most influential people in the world right now. After 53 shows and the end of the Eras Tour, which came to a close on August 9th, we can now sit back and see the economic impact that Taylor Swift and the Eras Tour has had throughout the summer.
Generating nearly $13 million from each show put her on track to break the $1 billion mark, making this tour the most profitable in history. One national study of concertgoers estimates that on average, they spent over $1,300 per event. The economic impact from this tour taps into the spending power of women who have experienced increased wages following the pandemic. So today, we are here with Ohio University student Riley Sargent to discuss the influence that Taylor Swift has over a variety of topics. Hi, Riley.
Hi.
Welcome to Athens Happens.
Thanks for having me.
If you could, please tell us a little bit about yourself.
Yeah, I'm a student at Ohio University. I am a junior political science student with certificates in law, justice, and culture and political communications. I'm involved with the Ohio University Mock Trial Team, ACLU's Campus Action Team, and the Margaret Boyd Scholars Program. Outside of school, first and foremost, I am a diehard Taylor Swift fan, and I have been since 2008.
So I guess we can start with, how do you think the influence of Taylor Swift is just as a person of who she is on like people?
Yeah. I mean, I think Taylor's always had a really huge influence on her audience coming up as like a young country star. And she really began by appealing to young women of her time. Like when she first began writing music, she was 16 years old, and that kind of brought in that audience in the beginning. And as she got older and continued to release more music, more people got interested, more people got involved, more people grew up listening to Taylor Swift. And I think for me, she's always been someone who was a big part of my childhood and a big part of my upbringing. I mean, I think when I think of Taylor Swift's impact or influence, the first thing I think of is when she encouraged voters in past elections. We saw an extreme rise in young women registering to vote. I think she's also impacted other young women trying to make it into the music industry, showing them that there's a space for young women in country music, and also showing that you can switch up your genres a little bit, starting as a country star to then becoming arguably the biggest pop star on the planet. And as she's grown as a person, so has her so-called brand, I'd say, with hundreds of millions of followers and posting on all social media platforms. I think that people see her content on a regular basis, and then it kind of impacts them or influences them to then go listen to her music.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, I can agree. I feel like she's just always had a really big impact. Like, it didn't just come up out of nowhere. It didn't just start recently with, like, her re-recording her stuff. I know I can remember my cousin Emily back when I was, like, six having sleepovers at their house, and her whole room was, like, Taylor Swift, and it reminds me of Riley. But, like, there's probably a nine-year age gap between them, and so I think she's, like, opened this space, like you were saying, in the industry for artists like her and musicians her age and her style, and she's just kept going. I mean, she sold over 14 million copies of 1989, and that was almost 10 years ago, and now she's still selling mass amounts of music.
I guess the way that I take it is, I mean, I didn't grow up listening to Taylor Swift or wasn't big in like her stuff, but I knew who she was. Like, I knew who she was as a country artist when she started. I knew all of it, and I never disliked any of her songs. I thought they were all good, and I still listen to them today. Of course I do, but I think it's that impact of her as a person is totally what you said earlier, Riley, how it helps like either younger women or women entering like that music industry to know there is a space, and then for her growing as a person and then realizing she wants to switch her genre of what she wants to sing totally opens that up in the sense of, hey, I'm not confined to this box of country music. What I want to do is what I want to do. And she did it and is very, very successful at doing all of that. And then even who she is as a person and who she's influenced has clearly carried on throughout all of these years with like this Eras Tour and how much she has made from it and how much influence has been brought in with that and how it's kind of made all that whole community of Swifties in like that way in everything that they like and they enjoy.
I also think that her songwriting abilities have shown over time that she is a powerful woman in the industry. And I think at first it was a lot of, she's a young woman making these catchy hits. And I think that as the years have gone by, especially with the albums Folklore and Evermore, she kind of established herself as a well-known, she kind of showed to the world that she was more than someone who just made a catchy pop song, that she could write these songs that were really deep and meaningful and having powerful explanations behind them. And I think with her writing music, like, that has also influenced people to not only get into the business, but has also encouraged people to listen to her music more, because they're listening to something and they're trying to, or they're listening to her music and they're finding ways that it relates to them and how it relates to their life, or even if it doesn't, they find some sort of emotional connection to it. I think that's how she's continued to stay on this pedestal that she's been on for the past 16 years.
Yeah, I mean, I think to add to that, but then gonna throw it back to you, is just like that sense of like powerful and successful businesswoman is all that she's wrote before, and now switching over to Taylor's version and that whole story behind what is Taylor's version and how she owns that and how she came to that. I know you, Riley, can explain all of that if you want, but I think like that step into her now having the rights over her own music and stuff the way that she wrote it kind of shows a whole lot of like, hey, this is my thing and I have like the power to do it because it's me and I'm not controlled by my manager or whoever else.
Yeah, I think also with, so what kind of started her whole re-recording process was moving music groups. And once she moved to Universal Records or Republic Records, she attempted to purchase her old music from her old label, Big Machine. And when she was trying to buy them back, they told her basically that for every album that she would have to buy back from them, she would have to create a new album for them. So that's why she started re-recording. And I think that the re-records have, I think at first it was kind of a shot in the dark as to how successful they would be, but with her re-records, they're streaming, they have more streams than even the originals have that have been out for over a decade for some of the albums at this point. And I think that a lot of the excitement for her re-records came from a lot of the classics that a lot of us grew up with, like the songs like Love Story, You Belong With Me, All Too Well, I Knew Your Trouble. It made people more excited, and it was kind of like connecting them more with their childhood or like their upbringing. And I think that has really impacted her, the success of her newly re-recorded albums.
So we know Taylor has a very innovative way of releasing albums and even releasing on streaming services and everything. So how do you think those things play into the success of her tours and the financial dynamics of those tours and how they all work together?
Yeah, I think the lead up for Taylor's albums have always been really exciting, trying to decode the Easter eggs that she's teased and trying to put things together as how they will actually look once the new album is released, trying to figure out exactly what everything means and then being able to actually see it come to life in the released album. I think that's why a lot of like diehard fans are most excited for her albums and why they do successful for people that have been fans forever. But I also think that she's a lot of it comes from the promotion that she posts on her social media accounts, Instagram, TikTok, Twitter, or X. But I think a lot of that promoing these albums have led to them being shared by other people's social media accounts, which then other people see, which gets people, more other people excited for the album. And I also think a lot of the success of her albums comes from TikTok audios. I think a lot of why she's at the state, at the point where she is now, where it seems almost everyone in the media is in love with her and has been posting about everything that she does and has really made her a star, is because of one of her songs going really viral on TikTok. And I think that excitement from seeing, or I think that especially when Enchanted was viral as a TikTok audio, people realized that it was Taylor Swift and heard that song, and then they went and they listened to the long version of the song. And as the tour started in March, we were able to see the set list, and it kind of goes back into the old classics that we're all familiar with. But when the set list dropped, everyone saw that she was covering all of her eras or all of her albums, and seeing songs like Love Story, You Belong With Me, Enchanted, I Knew You Were Trouble, 22 being on the show made people more excited or more interested in going, because they heard about them through the re-records, or they've known them for their entire lives, and they get to see them in real life. And I think that's hearing your favorite music or hearing songs that you've grown up with in person is a really exciting experience for a lot of people. And I think that part of that goes into how she releases her albums, is people are getting excited and people are seeing things that are happening. And then once they saw that their songs that they liked or songs that they're familiar with are on the set list, then people were excited and they were interested to go because they were familiar with this music, and it made them more excited to attend a concert. Even if they didn't know her most recent album that came out when she announced the tour, when Midnights came out, you didn't have to be a fan of Midnights to be interested in going to the Eras tour, because she covered almost all of her albums within the tour. So people were excited to hear songs that they've known for their entire lives.
The same goes for my favorite musicians. Like, when I go to see them, and like, I'm not a Swiftie, that I love some of Taylor's old stuff. And I mean, exactly like you've been talking about, I've gotten back into it because of the re-records, and it's like, given the opportunity, I'm gonna listen to my favorite song in her version, you know? But even when I go to other concerts of my favorite artists, that, yeah, I'll listen to their new album, but I love when they bring it back to, like, maybe that moment you fell in love with their music. It's a song from an old album, and you get to hear it. And I think she capitalized on that and did a phenomenal job.
As far as I know, like what you said earlier, dropping, like, those little Easter eggs and figuring that out, she's the only one that really does that, has like those Easter eggs that lead up to the album, which builds so much anticipation for the fan base to where when the album release, it's topping charts. I mean, with this release of 1989, Taylor's version, it just beat her last record, which she sat at the most streams for like an album release. And she just keeps outdoing herself just because it builds so much anticipation and so many people like her music. And then to have it in her version also means so much more to like Swifties and like that way, and her too, of course. But I think it's that build up which is really helpful to her, and when she has releases, and then how like the Eras Tour was set up, like you said, Riley covering most of her albums, it's really nice in a way, but also so beneficial for like fans, I guess, to go to that concert and then hear like that wide range of songs from like 1989, Speak Now, like stuff like that, and ones that have come up or ones that they grew up listening to, like you said, and to hearing them now also is so great for like a fan base to have laid out. And I see that also helping why so many people showed up when you have an average of about 54,000 fans at each concert, while the average ticket price was around $254. I mean, I understand like resale stuff soared to thousands and tens of thousands of dollars, but just to have all of that and be comfortable, I guess, paying prices like that means that you really, really do like this artist. And she is very successful. But I think it's just like all the anticipation that she's built up from everything, and then playing all of that, playing all of those eras on the Eras Tour, running through that, is such a great, I don't know if I'd call it a business move, but it's just a really good move as like an artist for your audience, fans, or whatever.
Yeah, and I think like with Megan, like with what Megan said, I think it is, she is capitalizing off of this moment. Like everything is doing really well, and I'm extremely happy and I'm extremely proud of her for that. But I think that she saw the opportunity that all of these people were willing to go to her show.
So I guess on a smaller level, or more specifically a local level, how do you think Taylor Swift's tours influence the economies of cities she visits? And are there any standout like examples that you can think of that have shown like this influence?
Yeah, I mean, when she first posted about the tour, everyone started getting excited. Everyone started saving up their money. The tickets finally dropped on Ticketmaster. Ticketmaster went crazy. And everyone got super angry about the prices and not everything, the underlying additional prices that people would have to pay for the tickets. And I think that is when scalpers first started getting interested and starting to pay extreme amounts of, or starting to resell tickets for extreme amounts of money, none of which directly went to Taylor because they would go to the scalpers.
Yeah, I mean, even when you think about the cities that she visits, and aside from scalpers, I know you drove, what, to Pittsburgh to try and get tickets, and even though you couldn't get in, you are in the city. You are hungry, so you stop to get food in that city or get gas, or the people who are traveling because that's the closest location to them. Again, you have all these different ways that those cities are being impacted, and obviously it may not be the same scale, but it's like the same reason that places want to host the Olympics. You bring more people into that area is going to profit. And so I think she's had a huge impact on it. You know, almost everybody I know who went to one of the shows on the Eras Tour traveled a few hours. So they're driving on those highways, they're using gas, getting food, staying in hotels, whatever it may be. And I think there's just no denying the fact that that's going to have an effect, and it's going to be beneficial for those cities.
Yeah, like the outside factor is not even actually the show itself. Like you were saying, Megan, it's like I drove to Pittsburgh, and two of my friends had tickets, two of us didn't, and we stayed in Pittsburgh. We went to dinner. We got gas when we were there. We didn't stay there, but we were at the show. We sat around the parking lot. We bought things from the local vendors. I still stood in line, and I bought merch. Like, you had people for every single show doing stuff like that. You had people that not only had tickets to the show, so not only were they staying in the areas and eating the food and paying for gas and all that stuff, but there were also people from that didn't even have tickets to the show, that were sitting out in the parking lots, that were sitting out listening, that were still waiting in line to buy merch. And all of that stuff still led to the Eras Tour having an extreme economic impact, because it affected the local tourism and created new jobs for people to run the merch trucks or run security at the shows, or like people who helped carry the stage from state to state, and people who helped set up everything. And there are just so many people involved from city to city. You can't bring every person with you that's going to work for the show with you for every single show. So she had to hire new people, or the stadiums had to hire new people to work these events that were huge events. There were extreme amounts of security everywhere because there were so many people there. Not only did people have to make sure that the people inside of the stadium were protected, people outside of the stadium had to be protected. People outside of the stadium had to eat. For Cincinnati, for example, I went to one of the shows in Cincinnati, and it was expected that the Eras Tour created 900 jobs in Cincinnati for all of those people that are working the things that we don't even think about. People in charge of lights, people in charge of sound, people in charge of directing traffic. Giving people different opportunities to work for these big events was really impactful for them and their families, and then in turn impacted the entire economy for the state. I also read somewhere that there not only would it create 900 new jobs, but it also was up to a 1,000% increase in demand for temporary workers for businesses nearby the stadium. So not even at the stadium, but people across the street, people who would need to hire more people to keep up with the thousands of people that are in town for a show. It takes a lot of people to not only run the concert, but a lot of people to run the city and keep sure that and make sure that things are running smoothly as if there wasn't even a huge star there. When I think of like the economic impact that it had on different communities or city specific issues, think of her impact on cities like Cincinnati that has an entire day named after Taylor Swift now. Like June 30th is now Taylor Swift Day in Cincinnati, Ohio. And when she was in these cities, not only was it creating jobs, but she was also donating a lot of money to local areas, helping out women's shelters or food centers to not only make sure that she was in these areas, but helping these areas while she was there.
Yeah, I mean, I think aside from the financial impact it had, it makes another kind of impact when you are intentionally going into these spaces and disrupting these areas by being there. And then you in turn are doing like what you said, giving back to shelters or in turn hiring people everywhere you go instead of just paying the same people, you know? And so I think it impacts a lot of different areas, which may all tie back to economics. It can do more in other areas too. And I think she did it well. And I think she's been very thoughtful in the process and really intentional with what she's doing, how she's using her success and where she's paying it forward.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with all of that, but like, what Riley said about Cincinnati having a whole day, like June 30th being Taylor Swift Day. I mean, yeah, there's that whole massive economic impact of it, but just like that personal impact of like, yeah, she was there. She's amazing. She's great. And now we're dedicating a whole day shows so much. But I guess on kind of the other side of the country, more or less in the middle, the only one that I have like examples for like number wise is like Denver. So in Denver, there were two shows. Both took place at Empower Fields, which is where like the Denver Broncos have their NFL games. But there with like those two shows, that's like had 76,000 people. And in total, like the GDP or like the gross domestic product contribution from her shows reached about $140 million. And like to break like that all down is just like the total consumer spending at Denver's concerts was around $201 million. A portion of the direct spending on ticket sales is about $38 million. Direct spending in the venue is about $11 million, but outside of the venue, the direct spending is about $121 million. And yeah, you're getting people who are from like the Denver area and you're most likely getting some from outside, kind of how like Riley, you had to go to like Pittsburgh for like a show, but then also be in Cincinnati for a show. Is even the fact that they're from there and like, and not coming from somewhere else, but still contributing $140 million to like the GDP of like Denver is insane. Like that is more than some countries can even like do in a couple years, let alone two nights. So I think it's that impact that really shows like her influence of just, yes, there's a lot being made off those tickets just because due to their price, which not exactly up to her entirely just because of like scalping and whatever, but just for her being there for two nights is what led to that contribution outside of the venue. And like that being $121 million outside of it is insane compared to just being in it and doing all your spending inside like Empower Field or whatever.
I know for Cincinnati, it was over $48 million were from ticket sales and around $92 million were the local generated sales for new local spending that came from her being in the area. And like you were saying with people dedicating a whole day, there was also people from every stop she went to, there was, the city was doing something new to kind of hype up her being there. In some cities, she was declared the mayor for the day. They renamed some streets after her for while she was there. And it was just, I think everyone in the areas were excited. I think there was a lot of excitement about her being there. And I think cities also kind of capitalized off of that, the way that Taylor saw how impactful she thought this tour would be. But also, people saw that other states were doing stuff like that. People saw that other cities were creating a lot of hype, and then it felt like everyone kind of had to one up the other. I know on Twitter I would see people being like, oh, well, Dallas only named a street after her, but she was the mayor in Santa Clara.
Yeah, I mean, the way that I take like that impact is just kind of what you said earlier about like creating jobs. Yes, but it was only for like maybe a couple days, but that's still,
it's still paying people.
Yeah, it's still paying people, and it's still contributing to communities, and it's anyone who like went there most likely got a hotel. So they're helping that hotel, they're helping people who are working there. Some probably went to chain restaurants to get food, and that's helping that restaurant, but it's also helping pay like those minimum wage workers who are there. And some people probably stopped at some mom and pop restaurant and helping every single local business that's there just because of their spending. And then even to like the chain of spending and how all of that works is just her being there probably was able to keep some restaurants open longer or do certain things, or if they decided to change like their hours just because she was there, and that got people paid more. And having those people paid more gives them more money in that area to spend on wherever they're going to go. Mm-hmm. So just in like that broad sense of like that spending and creating jobs here and there and getting people paid will just cycle back into the economy the way that it typically does. But just to have like a $140 million spike in 2 days is fantastic, I think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I also can tell you guys, like, from my experience from actually being there, when we went to the show in Cincinnati, just my little sister and I had tickets, but my parents came with us as well. When we were driving there, we were in traffic almost the entire way there, driving from Columbus area down to Cincinnati. We were in traffic almost the whole entire time. Once we got to Cincinnati, it was crazy traffic, hot mess. We stayed in a hotel in Kentucky filled with other people also going to the show. Checking into the hotel took us about an hour and a half because there was such a long line of so many Swifties trying to get into that hotel. And we were just staying in Kentucky over the river from Cincinnati. So we weren't even in the state, but everyone that was in that hotel in Kentucky was paying for a hotel in Kentucky, helping Kentucky. When we were there, we went out to eat twice, and both times were in Kentucky. So not only are we seeing the show in Cincinnati and paying for gas in Ohio, but we were also, I guess, helping the economy of Kentucky because we were in the surrounding areas that also wasn't even just the city itself. It was all of the areas surrounding. Like, hotels were sold out for months in advance. When we went to book our hotel, we booked our hotel the day after we got tickets, and there were no hotel rooms left in Cincinnati at all. So we had to stay in Kentucky. And when she announced the dates for when she's going to be on tour in America again next year, she's going to be in Indianapolis for three nights. And before we even looked to see if we would be able to buy tickets, which we weren't, but we looked to see about hotels in the area, and already there were extremely slim pickings for all of Indianapolis just for the weekend that she's there, over a year in advance.
Well, Riley, we want to thank you for being here and all the discussion that you brought along. And if anything ever pops up again that we could have you on, we'd gladly have you.
Yeah, thank you guys so much for having me. I'll take any opportunity that I can to talk about Taylor Swift. So feel free to have me back.
And that's a wrap for this episode of Athens Happens.
If you're interested in joining the New Political, come see us in the Radio Television Communications Building on Sundays from 7 to 8 p.m. Also, make sure to check out thenewpolitical.com for more podcast episodes and other content. Thank you, and until next time.
Bye.